This happens to every preacher. You have a sermon prepared, and you feel like you need to change. And that's exactly what happened with me. My sermon was done, ready to go, and had already the PowerPoint had been sent to Jake already. And so I was all ready, and then on Friday, after I was praying to the Lord, I decided to go a different direction. But I don't want you to think today that I'm going to talk about the coronavirus. I'm not talking about the coronavirus, so don't worry about that. And I'm not going to talk about hand washing today, although I am prepared. I've got my hand sanitizer right here, so I want you to feel at ease this morning. I've got the hand sanitizer, and I'm not going to be touching my face, I promise. So I'm not going to talk about those, and I'm not going to talk about how you've been told to barricade yourself in your house. I'm not going to talk about that either. And I'm also not going to talk about where the last roll of toilet paper is in Burke County. I'm not going to tell you where that's at. I'm sure it's out there somewhere, but none of these things, what I'm going to talk to you about today is more important than anything that you're going to hear about on the news or the internet. In fact, ironically enough, my brother last week preached a sermon, and I always listen to his sermons. He listens to my sermons. We give each other feedback. But anyway, I heard his sermon, and I thought, wow, that's a powerful sermon. And it's very relevant, and it's very touching. So I told him, I said, buddy, I'm ready to preach tomorrow. Your sermon is going to be preached very well. So I'm going to be preaching part of his sermon today, because they're such relevant words today from Psalm 121. So I want to encourage you to turn to this scripture right here. And as I read these words, really let these take this to heart. And if you just hold this passage open right here, this is going to be the sermon for today. Psalm 121. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Let me pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I pray that these words today would bring a sense of comfort and a sense of strength. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would turn to you and we would rely how much strength and power you have over everything, even this concern that we have right now. Be with us, Lord, and let our hearts and minds be open to your words. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. This is a very well-known passage. We don't even know when it was written. We don't know the circumstances behind why it was written, but the words are powerful. So we need to pay very close attention to them. And it starts out with a question, the first verse. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? You know, there's a lot of helplessness in our world. That's what I've been seeing in the last week. People are looking for answers. They're looking to the president. They're looking to the CDC. They're looking to the government. They're looking to doctors. We want the right medication. We need enough money in our bank account, so we're relying on ourselves. But the fact is, all these things are going to fail. So where do we find help? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. So the question is asked, where's my help come from? And it's asked with a sense of expectation. There's no doubt. My help comes from the Lord. It doesn't come from the government. It doesn't come from a medication. We can expect God to help us no matter what we're facing. No matter what we're going through, the Lord is your help, and nothing is too big for God, nothing is too great for God, nothing is too high for God, and nothing is too low for God. He is your help. So how do we know God is our help? Our passage continues. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. God is the creator of this world. He's the creator of all life. And when something breaks, don't we go to the person that made it? God made the world. He can handle any problem. Now, some people may say, well, I believe in God. I believe that out there's a God somewhere, but I don't believe He really has anything to do with my life. God doesn't care about my own issues. He doesn't care when I stumble. Look back at Psalm 121, verse 3. He will not let your foot slip. It doesn't say stumble. It doesn't say go in the wrong direction. It says He won't even let your foot slip because God is watching you. Now this may sound crazy, but I live my life with the... Oh, that's what it is, Jake. For some reason we've got... Oh, try this right here. Nope. Okay. Anyway, I live my life with the expectation that I'm being watched. I know God is watching me. It sounds kind of crazy, doesn't it? But He's watching me all the time. He knows what I'm doing. Every single moment of every single day, God is watching me. I live with that awareness. Verse 3 continues, He who watches over you will not slumber. God watches over me when I sleep. He watches over us when we're not conscious. He watches over us when we're not in control. If you've ever had surgery, you've been in a state when you weren't in control. But God never sleeps. He's always watching you. Now there's going to be times that you are all alone because nobody can be with you 24/7. Maybe when you're at the hospital or maybe when you have an accident or maybe when you're at the funeral home, but you're going to be alone from time to time. Maybe you live alone. Maybe you're alone all the time and your family just checks on you occasionally. But I'm going to tell you this, God is the only one that's going to be there for you all the time, 24/7. Not only does God care about individuals, but He cares about nations. Our passage continues. Indeed, He who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. These words are written to Israel. But Jesus came for all nations. He came for the world. Remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Jesus died for all people. The church is all those people that have accepted Jesus, have given their lives to Him, and are following Him. The church is the continuation of Israel. The church is God's people. So the church, that's us. We are not alone. God cares for us. God watches us. We are the church of Jesus Christ, and we are not alone. Our text continues, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is the shade at your right hand. The Lord is your shade. You know, we know about shade. We don't, down here in Georgia, we know how important shade is. It's a very important thing. We don't have outdoor picnics in July here, do we? We don't just decide to go out about 12 o'clock, let's go out and let's go have a picnic. We don't, do we? Because it's like 105 degrees out here. It's too hot, it's too sunny, and it's too buggy, right? Even cows know the value of shade down here. I get cracked up in the middle of summer. I'm driving along and I'm looking for the cows. Where are the cows at? They're all in a little corner of the shade. They're all packed into a little shady area. A cow knows the value to shade. Well, the Lord is our shade. He's our protection. He is the shade at your right hand. So how many lefties do we have out here today? Any left-handers? Okay, we got the one lefty. In the Bible, God always talks about the right hand as being the strong hand. Sorry, Jake, you're out of luck today. The general idea is that most people are right hand, so the right hand is our strength. God protects our strengths. He allows us to succeed. God cares for us, and He cares for us in ways that we don't even know, even when it comes to our personal success. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. Right now, we have forgotten about global warming. That's one praise, right? Nobody's talking about global warming, but it's going to be back. And all the dire warnings of global warming are about like what we're going through right now. But there's one thing when it comes to global warming, nobody ever talks about turning down the sun. Do they? They never say we need to turn the sun down. They never say we need to turn the sun off for a while. They never say we need to move the sun or we need to move the moon. No, because that's stupid. You can't move it. That's impossible. Those are unmovable things. They are what they are, but our passage tells us God is in control of the sun. God is in control of the moon, and he doesn't want us to be harmed. He doesn't want us to be harmed by day or anything that happens at night. So if you think about it, we are terrified of a virus, but we know a God who controls the sun and the moon. Nothing is too big for him. Verse 7 is a key verse to me. This is a verse that you might want to underline, you might want to write, post somewhere. This is a great verse of reassurance. This is what it says. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. God doesn't want us to be harmed. He watches over our footsteps so we're never alone. He protects us from danger. And it says right here, he watches over your very life. So how closely does he watch our life? Look at the last part of the chapter. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, now and forevermore. God will be with us forever. Our life is in his hands. And the fact is, we're going to die. It's 100% certainty. I'm going to give you a statistic, 100% death. It's going to happen. But God will go with us into death. And death is not a surprise to the Lord. There are no surprises to God. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. We who believe in God, we don't have anything to fear. We don't have anything to worry about because God is in control. He's in control now, and he's in control now forevermore. So Romans 8:31, Paul says, if God is for us, who can be against us? So let's put all this together. How does this fit into everything that's happened this week? Let me give you some truth today to hold on to. Three C's, okay? The first C is confidence. Be confident in God's care. Now, it doesn't matter how many precautions you take. It doesn't matter how often you wash your hands. And it doesn't matter how much hand sanitizer you use. If you don't know God, you are in a helpless situation. And you are missing out on the best care. You want to know where the best care is? God gives the best care. God is in control. So if you're a Christian, be confident that God is your help. And be confident that he's watching over you. The second C is calm. Be calm. Having faith means you have a calm trust that God is in control. Fear makes people panic. Fear makes people stand in line for hours with a cart full of toilet paper. Okay? It's fear. I want to caution you about watching too much news. Please, do not turn the news on and watch it all day. Don't fixate on the news. And I don't care if it's during a time like this or any other. It's not healthy. It's not healthy to stay glued on that television all day on the news. Find something else to watch. I'm not against being informed. And don't do that with social media. Don't sit there on social media for hours and hours and hours. Okay? Find something else. Read a book. Read your Bible. Pray. Do something. Check in from time to time. Be informed. If you've got a smartphone, you'll get it. You'll get information on breaking news. But I want to give you a simple truth, and this is something the media is not really talking about. People die from viruses all the time, especially the elderly. On the average, 12,000 people die every year due to the flu. We don't even worry about it. We just move on with our lives. Don't worry. This has been happening for a long time. This isn't the first virus outbreak, and it won't be a last. 11 years ago, the swine flu hit America. 60 million people were infected, and 12,000 people died from it alone. And life went on, and sports went on. It was forgotten. God doesn't make mistakes. God is in control. So rest in faith. Don't panic. This is going to be over. It may be over sooner than you think, and it may not be as dire as everybody's talking about. Be responsible. Wash your hands. Use hand sanitizer. Be careful. Use common sense, but remember, your life is in God's hands. So stay calm. Rely on your faith, and don't spend $1,000 on toilet paper. Be confident. Be calm. The third C, church. Be the church. Let me ask you something. There's a thought that came to my mind that people aren't talking about. Have we forgotten what Jesus called the church to do? I want you to turn with me here to Acts chapter 8. And I'm going to be reading the second part of verse 1, and I'm going to be reading down to verse 4. And I want you to listen to how these Christians in the early church responded to trauma. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him, but Saul began to destroy the church. Going from house to house, he dragged off both men and women and put them in prison. And those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. These Christians were facing death and imprisonment. Their lives were really in danger. Did they hide? Did they cower in fear? They continued to meet. They continued to tell other people about Jesus. Jesus, remember this now. Jesus didn't hide from sick people, and neither did the church. So this is the time right now for the church to shine the light of hope to the world. If we're acting all panicky and afraid, we're not being very good testimony to Jesus. We ought to be confident, and we ought to be calm, and we ought to just be relying on God and let people know that there's hope available out there. Church is more than just watching a service by video. I'm glad that people are doing that. I'm glad that they've got that, and I'm glad that's a good option. People can't get out, and if people are worshiping, if they want to worship in their, you can worship with six people in a home, four people, three people, two people. You can worship in your homes, don't get me wrong. But there's more to church than just watching a video. Church is about real involvement in relationships and people's lives for the sake of Jesus. God is giving us an opportunity as a church. It's not the time to flee battle, because we are the hands of Jesus, and we are the feet of Jesus, and we are the words of Jesus. So we need to stay confident, and we need to ask ourselves, who is it that we need to help? See, during this time, the church is supposed to be active and busy helping people. The church doesn't stop. You don't turn off the church. Sorry, the church is going to be out of commission during this difficult time. No. The church goes on. Doesn't matter what the difficulty is. I will lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. We are God's help to the world. So let me ask you to think about this. During this time when we have put life on pause, let me ask you during that time to pray to God and ask what He wants you to do. What does He want you to do during this time to grow closer to Him? Do you need to pray more? Do you need to read your Bible more? Do you need to check on people? What do you need to do? What does God has a purpose for things like this happening, and the church has to figure out what that purpose is. Our song of decision is really just a song of reassurance. God will take care of you. It's an old hymn. And boy, I love the words to this. As I was doing this sermon, I started singing this song because it's one of my favorites. And it just tells you God will take care of you through all the day and all the way. He's not going to stop taking care of you. Let's all stand as we sing our invitation hymn.